Canadians take for granted police, medical services, and other social and emergency agencies. We assume that if we need help, it will be there, no strings attached. But there are thousands of people in Canada who can't make this assumption. They are undocumented immigrants. Many fear that their immigration status will be reported to federal officials and that they will be deported if they seek the help of civic agencies. A coalition of groups in Toronto is asking their city government and police to pledge not to ask clients about their immigration status and not to report immigration status to federal officials. Seema Zurahi is with the campaign called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She came to Canada as a refugee herself and is an activist and caseworker with No One Is Illegal and the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees in Toronto. And she joins me on the line this morning from Toronto. Good morning, Seema.
Good morning.
Who are the undocumented immigrants?
Well, undocumented immigrants are people who have come to Canada through a variety of different channels, perhaps on work visas or as asylum seekers seeking refugee claims, and were somehow slipped through the cracks of the system and were unable to gain legal status as landed immigrants or permanent residents, and were then continued to live and work in Canada, oftentimes because the conditions back home of war, occupation, or economic devastation were extremely harsh, and they had no opportunity or choice to be able to go back.
A couple of months ago on Red Eye, we spent an hour speaking about the changes to the refugee and immigration law that have designated, for example, the United States as a safe third country, and other changes that make it more likely for people to end up in this system. I guess things are changing in that way.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, with the introduction of the Immigration Refugee Protection Act in 2002 and then subsequent other immigration laws and acts that have come in, like safe third country legislation and so on, we're seeing immigrants and refugee communities being further marginalized. We're seeing a system that again and again discriminates people, and we're seeing larger and larger numbers of people slipping through the cracks, unable to gain any kind of status in Canada. Right now, our refugee system basically prevents huge numbers of people from being able to gain asylum here in Canada, with only one board member adjudicating each refugee claim, and that member being politically appointed. There are hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of people that are systematically being rejected, either being rejected because of political reasons, because of the countries that they come from and Canada's economic or political interests regarding those countries, or because of the simple ignorance of the board members who are presiding over these cases. And with a lack of an appeal system being implemented, an appeal system that was promised as part of the act, there is no avenue for people to turn to make a second case for asylum here in Canada.
So let's look at some of the situations that when people find themselves in this situation, they're here and they're undocumented. What are some of the situations where they risk having their status reported when they use services?
Well, daily life as a non-status immigrant is an act of direct action. Every day people are in consistent fear of detention and deportation. Acts like going to work are daily acts of resistance, because at any moment your employer might call the police in on you or report you to immigration officials. Acts like accessing essential medical services at times is once again an act that could put you in extreme danger if your status documentation are demanded. Registering your children in schools, although every child in Canada has a legal right to education, oftentimes school demands status documentation when registering kids in schools. So once again, people fear trying to send their children to schools because they could be detained or deported. And then the status situations are incidents of domestic violence and abuse, where a non-status woman has to make the extremely difficult choice of whether she's going to pick up the phone and call the police to get the necessary emergency aid that she needs, and potentially risk being detained and deported. and the list goes on. We're talking about access to food banks and shelters, access to social housing, assistance with job find or job search services, social assistance services, necessary settlement services that could help people gain even status in Canada. So there's a number of implications when people don't have status.
And are there documented cases in those situations, for example, with the police or, for example, with other social services where people have been reported to immigration?
Absolutely. I mean, just through anecdotal evidence that we've found working in detention center with the women who have been detained for immigration reasons, there are every time that we go into the detention, there's at least one or two cases of women that had been detained because they made the mistake of walking into a police station to report an incident of violence or picking up the phone and calling the police to get necessary assistance. Again and again, we're seeing that the particularly marginalized groups are women, women of color, and they're the ones who are at most risk of with a lack of a don't tell policy.
What kind of policies do the police currently have in place about reporting immigrant status?
Well, the police right now in Toronto have discretion over acting on immigration warrants. That means that they have a choice of whether they want to pursue an immigration warrant or not. And again, we're seeing that the police are making a choice, a conscious choice, to go out and act on immigration warrants and target non-status community members. We saw this as a blatant example of this with the Wendy Maxwell case, a community activist that was arrested at the International Women's Day Fair.
Yes, we spoke about it on our program about a month ago. About 2 weeks ago, I guess.
Absolutely, and so that was one incident of this. But we're seeing that the police are actually going out of their way to enforce immigration policies. We're seeing that police are systematically stopping cars filled with particularly black men and demanding status documentation, that the police are again and again targeting people of color for no good reason as people are going about their daily routines and their daily work doing the work that immigration should be doing and actually has the resources to do. There's no reason for the police to become an extended arm of the immigration goon squad.
Now, I know that some cities in the United States have adopted don't ask, don't tell policies. Where has it been adopted?
Well, various versions of the don't ask, don't tell policy have come into different cities in the United States, including New York, San Francisco, Chicago. So there's a lot of different versions of this policy. So we have a number of different models for us to look at and be inspired by in terms of figuring out which model makes sense for Toronto and other cities across Canada as well.
And have they been successful, those models that have been set up? Have they made a difference in people's lives?
Well, the evidence that we have so far in terms of our communication with activists across the different cities is that, yes, these models have made a difference. They have really helped to ensure that there's a certain sense of safety and security and access to essential services for non-status immigrants in those cities. And also, we've heard a great deal in terms of the positive impact of building a Don't Ask, Don't Help campaign, the positive impact of building coalitions, grassroots networks, in our cities to talk about the reality of non-status immigrants in our cities in the country. And the fact that this is just a beginning point, a step towards the broader issue of regularization on a national scale.
What reaction have you gotten so far in Toronto?
So far, the reaction in Toronto has been extremely positive. Within a year of building this campaign, we have numerous endorsements from community organizations, agencies, trade unionists, students groups, faith groups. So the campaign has really built very quickly. We've also got endorsements from a number of city councillors, and it seems like everyone's talking about it. So the mobilization is happening very quickly. The next steps for us is to really build the grassroots awareness about this campaign, because this campaign is not just about a policy that would just be rubber stamped through city council. It's a policy that actually empowers communities to talk about their reality of non-status immigrants living in our neighborhoods. And so the only way that it could be successful is for community groups and neighborhoods to mobilize around this, to demand that the various agencies and services in their local areas are actually safe spaces for everybody to access. And so that will be the next steps for the campaign.
Are you aware of if people are working on that campaign here in Vancouver? I haven't heard about it, but I'm wondering if maybe I'm just not informed there.
Well, I know that we have been in contact, groups in Toronto have been in contact with a number of different activists in Vancouver, and there are a number of informal and more formal communication links between immigration groups here and immigration groups there. I know that, you know, we've talked to people who are involved in No One Is Illegal Vancouver, as well as a number of other organizations about the work that is happening here, and the Rainbow Refugee Coalition as well has been very much involved in hearing about these campaigns and trying to figure out how it would make sense to a Vancouver context. But that work is still, you know, it's at the beginning. I think definitely another city beside Toronto that has a good chance of implementing a Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy would be Vancouver. And hopefully in the next couple of months, we can coordinate those efforts a little bit more.
I guess the exciting thing about this kind of work is that it's much more direct and it's much more local, and you can call your city councilor and you can do something about it, as compared with fighting against federal laws, which is a longer project.
Absolutely, and I think that we need to be doing both of these things at the same time. A Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and a municipal policy like this one don't mean that we stop thinking about broader regularization policies federally. It's just another step in terms of saying we want to make every single space that we are a part of safe for non-status communities. And on the road to regularization, which is a longer battle, we need to make sure that we educate our communities and we mobilize our communities effectively around these issues. Because the first thing that we encounter when talking about a Don't Ask, Don't Tell campaign is the level of misinformation that people have about non-status communities. The fact that many people don't realize how many people there are in Canada. The estimated number is over 200,000 non-status people that are currently living and working in Canada, and also how dependent our economy is on the work of non-status communities. We're seeing a lot of discussion about construction workers right now in the news and the potential of regularizing that particular industry, but it doesn't stop there. We have people working in the hotel and tourism industry that you know, are supported by non-status workers. We're seeing huge numbers of domestic workers that are non-status community members, as well as many, many other industries. So this is a reality. This is something that can't be ignored. And the fact that even the new immigration minister, Joe Volpe, has said we need to look at some kind of regularization program means these kinds of campaigns are gaining momentum, and the awareness and education is working.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about your campaign and for inspiring us here in Vancouver. Thank you, Seema.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye now.
Bye for now.
I've been speaking with Seema Zerehi. She's with No One Is Illegal. She's also with the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees, and she's in Toronto. If you want to find out more about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell campaign, they have a website, and it's DADT, that's Don't Ask, Don't Tell, DADTToronto.org.